Hello, hello, and welcome to the Embody Your Soul podcast. I am your host, Alexandra Shelley, also known as the Modern Medium. And if you are new here, thank you so much for finding me. And if you are a regular listener, thank you so much for tuning in and coming back whenever the heck you come back, every week, every month. It means the world to me. If you haven't already, make sure to follow this podcast wherever you love to listen and follow me on Instagram at @themodernmedium_. If you are looking for ways to work with me, simply DM me on Instagram. I'm always happy to chat. Book a discovery call with me, which is available to book on my website, of course, also in the link in my bio in Instagram. And if you are looking to just straight up book a service with me, head to my website at themodernmedium.co. Thank you so much, guys, for being so patient. I've kind of went on a little hiatus moment, and I only and always want to come back to the podcast when I feel ready and aligned, because again, as a one-woman show, producing a podcast is a lot of work. And especially when it comes to a solo episode, I always want to make sure when I go to record a solo episode, it feels really good. It feels relevant to me. It feels really strong on my heart. I don't want to just make content to make content. I don't want to just share. For me, in my soul and the way I work, I have to show up when I feel inspired, and I have to, yeah. So anyways, I don't even need to over-explain myself. And of course, as you've seen, I haven't released a solo episode for a while. And with this recent heartbreak, I thought I might as well share these lessons because they were really groundbreaking for me. And even right now, I'm definitely doing a lot better than I would expect, I guess, after like a week and a half of it just happening. But I am definitely moving through grief today. I'm moving through kind of the undulation through memory lane, through the words that were said, through the actions, through the moments, and my heart yearns for that and misses that. But I am making a lot more peace with this situation. So I'll just kind of go into like, just give you a like, paint the picture of how this all happened and then give you like the lessons that I've learned. So of course, I've been really clear. And if you've been listening to me, I've been very clear about wanting to call in my husband, my divine masculine. And there was a point in March where I was like, you know what? I want to go on Hinge. I'm going to give it a shot. And I wanted to go on Hinge because I noticed myself reaching this hindrance. And this hindrance was, well, if I go on Hinge, I feel weird being really intentional. I feel weird being super forthright about what I'm looking for. And I noticed that this entire time when I would go on a dating app, I'd play into the game. And I would say it's very strong in Los Angeles, and maybe it's a whole dating app thing, but the game of posting, you know, hot pics, being very mysterious and very brief about what you're looking for, and kind of playing to the game of like, I'm just on it. Oh my God, dating apps are so stupid. And I also had this belief. I'm like, well, the only guys I will be attracted to are going to have these profiles that are very brief, that aren't, you know, like kind of like this cool guy, cool girl thing. And I felt like I had to play into the cool girl. And then I would end up with assholes. So then I was like, okay, if I want to call in my husband and want to call in a partner, and I really want to live through and embody these standards, why not try it out on an app? So the app was honestly an experiment for me. And so with the app, three things happened. And it was so funny because I was like really intentional about how long I wanted to be on the app too. I personally never felt comfortable being on the app for like this unending loose amount of time. I wanted to give it like this very intentional timestamp. So Spirit said 7. I was like, okay, 7 days. I'm going to see how I feel after 7 days and see where I get. If I feel like shit, I'm leaving it. If I feel like I'm making progress, good. Or if I feel like I've reached like a resolution after 7 days, cool. And I went into it with this childlike, how do I put it? I'm actually recently really learning and getting into tarot. So I was going into it with the Fool energy, the Fool archetype of not necessarily spontaneity, but the openness, the adventure, the willingness to be guided towards whatever I needed to be guided towards. Also, the finding peace with making mistakes. And I really, really wanted to give myself that grace because I'm so hard on myself. So anyways, I dive into the app for 7 days. I first go on literally the worst date I've ever been on my entire life. And what I learned from that is as a Pisces, I am a beautiful creator. I have this endless well of imagination. But when it comes to romance, I really build these bubbles, these fantasy bubbles. And I built this bubble so strongly around this person who I thought was going to be a catch, ended up being like, it was literally a nightmare. Like, I actually died. I did everything wrong. I could have been murdered. So here I am living to tell the story with the mic in my hand. All right. Then the second person I met was a pattern repeater. And so, yeah, I don't even need to get into it because I want to make sure I really focus on the point of the podcast, which is like these lessons. So anyways, I involved myself with a pattern repeater and I actually ended up getting really hurt by this person as well. And then I met the third person who I still believe to this day was one of my soulmates in this lifetime. I do believe that we all have multiple soulmates, and not just in romance, in friendships, in community, in like a dog, like a pet. In familial relationships, I really do believe that we are meant to have multiple soulmates, like at the same time, all, you know, just and throughout our lifetime. So anyways, I do really believe this person was a soulmate. And what was really interesting about when I kept talking to this person and we were voice messaging back and forth, I would always see angel numbers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just like such a sweet way of Spirit, like showing like that they're excited about this conversation. I do remember when I saw this person's face, I really just had this feeling. I was like, I really need to meet this person. And I remember I was on the app for free and because I was like, fuck that. I don't want to pay for this. But then I saw this person. I saw this person's eyes and this smile and I felt this beautiful old soul energy. And I was like, I'm going to pay this freaking $14.99 for like an extra week so I can literally talk to this person. I need to talk to this person and whatever happens, happens. And so we end up really connecting. And beyond even knowing, before meeting each other and knowing that we had chemistry, we were so compatible, like lifestyle, values, like it was just really amazing. And so that felt really good to me. And so what was really funny also about this person and also the pattern repeater is I sent videos of these men to friends, even intuitive friends, and they actually liked the pattern repeater over the third man. And it just goes to show how easily someone's facade can even sway intuitive people. Like, even we are so human and we so want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And we get really sucked in by humor, by charm. Like, honestly, it's really interesting. And so I just found that really interesting where, you know, so anyways, the pattern repeater, I kind of went through a whole thing with this person and like just a really big lesson of just honoring space and space and getting to know someone. And that space is the room where God can reveal the truth, not only the truth of yourself, but also them, the truth of the matter, the truth of the relationship. So I actually guess that's kind of like, I can put that as a lesson in here. But that was definitely a lesson from this pattern repeater. And that's where I'm even really needing to get better at not diving all in and putting my eggs all in like one basket, but allowing space in a romantic relationship so the truth can come out. So spirit and God and their higher selves can reveal the truth and whatever that whatever needs to be confronted. And whether that's meant to be worked on together or that is meant to sever or, you know, again. So pattern repeater, that was a situation. And then I went on my first date with the third man, and we're going to call him Jackson. So I went on a date with Jackson, and actually my heart was kind of closed to him because I was still kind of like in La La Land with a pattern repeater. And I knew I had to like give him a chance. I knew I really, really wanted to meet him. And it was like a beautiful date, honestly. It was really, really great. And actually, throughout the weekend, I was debating. I'm like, do I still talk to him? I don't know. Like, and so then pretty much things with the next week, things with the pattern repeater just kind of toppled down. And then the day after that happened, I was pretty much sent a text and I was like, ouch, geez. I had a second date with Jackson. And I knew, I was like, I need to open my heart to this man. I need to open my heart to him. I just know it. Whatever it reveals itself to me, this relationship, this connection. And long story short, the second date was when we actually really understood and knew that we've been, at least I felt like there were aspects of him that I have been praying for. There were things I've written on my list that I've been yearning for and praying for at least a year, over a year. And he really, and not even in a gross way, like genuinely, because he has such a genuine heart, like he really blew me away. Like he brought me gifts when on our second date, he brought me a beautiful bouquet and it had roses, red roses. He brought me these items that he handmade. He actually makes his own soap. So he like brought me a box of like his soap. And he wrote me a card. He wrote me like this beautiful card. And I was just so blown away. I was like, wow, like what a wonderful human. And we just had this amazing day. And honestly, you guys, one of the things that also that pulled me into was there was all these signs. There was all these divine signs where it felt too divine to not be true. And I still believe to this day that it was like just a very like divine union and it was purposeful. And so a symbol and an essence that I'm very connected to spiritually is the rose, with my ancestors, with my guides, XYZ. And so I'll tell you one of the signs I got, which was like really crazy. So we were talking about tattoos and he was like, yeah, yeah. Like I have this one, then I have a rose tattoo on my ankle for my grandmother. And I was like, holy shit. Like the rose, not only does the rose symbolize many other things in my life, but first and foremost, the rose came into my life as the sign for my grandmother, my spirit guide grandmother. And I was like, okay, that's insane. And then right after he said that, this pickup truck pulled up in front of us. And I actually even recently during those 2 weeks, I was also working with Mother Mary, working through fear and doubt and emotion. And I was really working with Mother Mary a lot. And then this pickup truck pulls up in front of us and this big sticker of Mother Mary surrounded by roses freaking appeared before me. And I was like, holy shit. And honestly, even together, like we went and got espresso martinis and like, and even the morning, like just I can go on and on and on. I can make a whole podcast episode about all the signs I was given. Like, and even the next day, like I guess the next morning after our date, there was a huge rave over CDM. Like it was just like our Corona Del Mar, the neighborhood I'm in. And it was just all these beautiful signs where I was like, holy shit, I have found my person. Like it was just so beautiful. And we both felt that. We both were like, oh my God, I think you're the one. Like we were freaking out. And so then began this love story. Our love story unfolded. And it was beautiful and powerful. And we just really cherished each other. We really celebrated each other. We were both, something that I really loved is we were both so excited to connect deeper with one another. We were so excited to go on adventures, but also to explore each other's souls and to connect with one another, like, and to get to know each other on a soul level. And it's so funny because I keep thinking about all these little things I'm missing, but I'm like, okay, like we could literally get caught up in all the details, but I want to do my best to just describe this, like, you know, kind of a summary. Because I want you guys to get to the juicy parts of the lessons, but maybe you guys are like, I want to know the whole story. So anyways, this love story unfolds. And I can't even begin to tell you either, like, just how many things are really lining up. And in a traditional sense, we like, quote unquote, moved fast. Like we became like official, like a exclusive item quickly, but I still feel at peace with it. And I still feel like okay with it because we were both after the same thing. We were both looking for a life partner. We like shared values in terms of wanting a family, where we wanted to live, like, and also just like both spiritual, both looking to provide, both looking to be this kind of parent. Like it just, things were lining up and we were just kind of like, why not? Like, why not? Like, let's begin this journey together. Like, let's keep growing together and really, really eager. But there was one thing that kept kind of bringing our relationship to this interesting place, this standstill. And I'm not entirely ready to share it with the world, with the podcast community, because my community understands the deeper knowledge of this. But let's just say there is something that will be a part of my life for the foreseeable future. And I don't have a lot of control over it. And I didn't choose it. I didn't choose it. Like, of course, if I chose A or B, like picked a door, I'd pick the other door, not having this thing a part of my life. But it is. And I've found a lot of peace with it, actually. I have no resentment, or really, I would say I have like 0%, maybe 0.001% shame about it. I'm just kind of keeping it private right now because I overshare. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe in due time I will share. But anyways, this thing was really stopping him. It was creating a deep, deep aversion in our relationship. And it got brought up several times. And I did everything I could. I did everything I could to try and comfort him, to make him know that he can fully trust me and I'm all in, and this does not have to affect our relationship in a negative way whatsoever. And how like common this is in relationships, how common this is in the world. And it really, and his fear came from just a whole different relationship background than me, pretty much. Like, we just have completely different backgrounds, even just kind of life backgrounds. Like, I, you know, for one, I've traveled a ton. I went to college. Like, there's like just certain things that I feel like have allowed me to be okay
where he's just had a different life. And I don't want to say the word sheltered because I feel like that is rude and that's demeaning, but let's just say different. Like, it's just different. Maybe not as exposed or something. So to the real world, or just kind of content in like his world. And that's beautiful and that's totally okay. So I even had us intervene with an expert to help us out, to maybe we can like both find peace with it. And because I'm like, well, we're in a serious loving partnership, like why not seek expert help or like expertise? And also something that would happen is when he was moving through something, he would go dark. So on the spectrum of the attachment style, he was more avoidant. And that really, really triggered my abandonment wound. Like, it was terrifying. It literally felt like death because it happened out of the blue. I didn't know when he would go dark. And I thought, yeah, it was just really, really scary. And I will say that was like, I guess, a red flag. But it was the beginning of the relationship. We're learning a lot about each other. And I was obviously hoping that with all the effort I was putting in, that it would help the situation. And it seemed like he was trying to, but he couldn't bring himself to actually put in the effort and meet me where I needed him to meet me, in order for us to kind of agree to this partnership fully. And so pretty much last Saturday, I was expecting him to come over and make dinner. And it ended up him pretty much saying, I don't think and I don't know when I will be able to bring myself to be at peace with this. And I fucking lost it. I lost my motherfucking shit. It was unbelievably devastating. And I think what's kind of badass too is I kind of knew it was this like sacred rage because, you know, when you look back and you're like, damn, I should have said that. I said it. I said it all. Not only did I not miss a word of what I was meant to say, but I have and had no regrets over what I said because I knew it needed to be said. And I also believe that it's so important to have to allow space for sacred rage because we think sometimes change is just like being very, you know, gentle and tender, but also change comes from rage. Change comes from explosion. Change comes from something like this happening. And it was the deepest pain I've ever moved through in my entire life. This was the deepest. I've gone through heartache for sure. I've been heartbroken like 500 million times. And I think that's what allows me to open my heart up again and have the capacity to love and know that love is like truly everything and worth it. And we're meant to open our heart and not close it. I just naturally cannot close my heart. But this was the deepest pain I've ever felt in my entire life. I actually didn't know how I would get through the week. I didn't know how I would survive this. There was a point where, you know, I was screaming in my pillow, but there was a point where I had to scream in the bathroom without a pillow because I was craving the feeling of my scream filling my ears. I had to feel and hear and experience my scream and my rage in every way. And it was just so scary. Like I literally, wow, this rocked the shit out of me. And to this day is the deepest, most painful heartache, emotional pain I've ever gone through. Actually, yeah, definitely one of them on up there. What actually, I would say like three. There's three instances, and that's like one of the three. And I was so blessed because throughout that week, like pretty much last week, how it all fell into place. I mean, this is spirit for you. Like I just so happened to have this podcast episode booked, a trade with a sound bath practitioner, another trade with an intuitive healer practitioner, like a dinner. Like, it was just all these things that I ended up absolutely needing to help me survive this week just so happened to fall in this week. And I think all of these things have allowed me to come to this place. So I'll even shout out their names to, like, give you, like, to look them up. So first was a podcast chat with the fucking man, Sam Gibbs Morris, who is a masculine presence mentor, like yogic teacher. He's absolutely incredible. And we talked about moving through pain and the initiated and uninitiated masculine and showing up in conscious relationships. And that literally was Monday. And it was just so fabulous to have this talk with him. And then after the podcast, he gave me some advice, some loving, generous advice. And then I had an intuitive healing session with this beautiful practitioner named Chrissy. If you go onto MerkababeDesigns.com, you can just find her on there. She has blonde hair and she's just wonderful. So I had her that Monday as well. And what else? And then I had scheduled a trade with this beautiful sound practitioner named Isa Balestros. I'll make sure to put also all of their names in the show notes. I am telling you guys, she is the real deal. She is meant to be a sound practitioner. She actually knows what the hell she's doing, because a lot of us are like, cute, bowls, let's hit it intuitively. This seems right. She actually knows and has this grounded foundation in harmony and music theory, in creating like a song. And like, I am so blown away by this woman. Like, I had a session with her, and I actually believe having a session with her allowed me to integrate and move through these emotions, these heavy emotions. Like, I am forever and like only wanting to get a sound bath done by this woman. And then I had dinner with friends, and I'm trying to think what else. Oh, and then I had a session with my mentor, Nathaniel Epting. And that was powerful. And then I had a therapy session with my dear friend, colleague, and also my therapist, Dr. Stephen Farmer, who's also been on the podcast. So I have just been so fortunate to have these people in my life that help me move through this. And I would say that's even like a pointer for you. Like, it takes work and devotion to be the person you need to be in order to call these people in, whether that's you really searching for them and praying for them, but also it's you showing up as your most authentic self, because you really call in people that are soul aligned. And this is like, having these people in my life is absolutely God spirit sent. Like, I'm so, so grateful. Anywho, it's been a week and a half, maybe like a week and a couple days. And I would say I feel very grounded in the lessons I've learned, the lessons that have come through, the lessons that I will keep learning unless I don't actually integrate and move forward and embody these and bring them into my life, a part of my standard, live in this as standard. And there's also still the piece of me that today, I believe I mentioned it earlier, I definitely am still moving through. Yesterday I was actually pretty joyful, bubbly. Today I've actually been yearning. I've been missing him. I still come home, and there's a piece of me that, it's weird. I have this vision of a letter taped on my door. And let's see. That is a possibility, but I don't want to bank on it. I'm doing everything I can to really focus in on me, to focus in on the lavishness and the lushness of rest and beauty and spring really bleeding into summer right now, and friendships and community. So that's where I'm at. Anyways, so the lessons, let's get to it. So number one, this lesson definitely came through and was really solidified when I met with my mentor, Nathaniel, and he kind of helped me, like, you know, bring it to the space. And the lesson here is on self-worth and really about, are you going to fold and try to make it work and chase after him? Or are you going to embody the high self-worth that you talk about? And yeah, that is major. And I think that's really major for a lot of us when it comes to breakups, or really any kind of breakup, any kind of rift that has to do with friendship, family, relationship. And yeah, there was so the piece of me where I have been like, do I write a letter? I literally had visions of like driving to his street, asking for his address from his best friend, dropping off his stuff, like texting him, calling him, like just a whole thing of telling him how much I missed him. But I knew I shouldn't do that. And so I'm really proud of myself for recognizing this lesson of having to be here, because also I don't really have a choice. I need to be authentic. I need to be myself. And I think that's what I really am so grateful for, and a quality that I do love about myself is I cannot shapeshift for other people. And if I do, it's not going to last long. It's going to go bad. It's going to go very, very sour. So number one is self-worth. Stand in that self-worth that you talk about, that you listen to on podcasts, that you read about, that you write about. Be it. Self-worth is made in moments like this. Seriously. Number two is, this kind of came to me, you know, when I remember I was like in the shower and I was, of course, focused on him, focused on us. And Spirit said to me, don't focus on him or focus on the external. When you focus on you, everything that is meant for you comes to you, because you are focused on you. You're taking care of you. You're vibrating in this frequency of knowing, of intuition, of not pouring into just other things. And when you focus so much on external, you're expelling energy that really should be towards you and way more useful. So to kind of crystallize this is, and even for like the dating world really, is stop being obsessed over the person you want, you want to be obsessed by, and start becoming obsessed with loving you. Start becoming obsessed with loving you. Start becoming obsessed with your love story with yourself. And this was even solidified with my conversation with Sam. And this is in the podcast. Guys, stay freaking tuned. It's so good. He was like a divine masculine. When he calls in his divine feminine, he expects the woman to already be like up to par and like doing the work. And one of the key things he said was, if you expect a type of love, you must be experiencing and giving that type of love to yourself. So taking yourself out to dinner, writing love letters, self-pleasure practices, these things that you're looking for, you have to be doing them for yourself. And I just love that because that's something I've really been working on. And I even think about when, yeah, I totally get like that. Like in this relationship I was just in, I was wanting to like just kind of blur the boundaries. And that's really showing me, you know, I have a lot of work to do. Like I'm really busy now. Like I have my practice. I'm filling up with clients. I have Merkababe. I'm now freelance writing. Like I'm busy. Like I actually need to live a really regimented life. A lot more like ritual life. Like put a little bit of regimen in my life because I can't be so loosey-goosey anymore. And being in a relationship makes me want to be loosey-goosey. So that was kind of like a kick in the butt too. This third one is huge. And it's funny because it really hit me in the last couple days. And this has been coming through with a lot of clients recently, where clients are like, I just want that one big download from spirit and then I can move forward. And it's just so funny because I keep telling them, I'm like, listen, you're going to be waiting your entire lifetime for that. Because it's not about waiting for the big download. It's about building that relationship with your intuition, building that relationship to opening little by little to all the subtle nuances and nudges and messages from spirit and from your intuition. So then it is like a 360 beautiful relationship where you will not be a skeptic when you receive that big message. Because if you're waiting for that big message, you're still going to be a skeptic. You're still going to question it. Because what the fuck is enough? Because nothing is enough for you. You're waiting for spirit to make your decision for you. And then it hit me the other day. I'm like, oh my God, I think I've been kind of relying on spirit for this, like for this decision as whether this is my husband or not. And this is also something I spoke with Nathaniel, where I did feel betrayed. I felt betrayed by spirit. I was saying to him, I'm like, I received all of these signs. I received all of these messages that this was really something special, that this was the one. And I feel deceived. I feel like something was ripped away from me and I feel punished. And this was something we spoke through. And he was saying to me, you know, this is a very hard lesson. This is definitely one of the hardest. However, this goes to show that we cannot rely on spirit to live our life for us. Like we can't, like our spirit guides are beautiful. I literally mentor you to tap into your spirit guides. Like spirit guides are amazing. It is our birthright to be guided and to lean on this unconditional support. Spirit guides are our teachers. Spirit guides are our mentors. They are our mothers and fathers. They're our best friends. They're our muses. They're inspiration. They give us the signs. They give us the messages. But think about it, again, like a literal teacher when you're in school. You could have an amazing freaking teacher, but there's only so much this teacher can do to tell you on how to live your life. And, you know, and it's up to you to get a really good grade. It's up to you to study and put in the work and the devotion. Because you could still have an amazing teacher, but you don't get a good grade because that was up to you. And so it's really the same thing with spirit. Is spirit is here to guide us, to be our lighthouse, to be, again, our friends, like our people, our soul family. But they're not living our life for us. And it's funny because then that's us giving up our sovereignty. The point of spirit guides is to have this reconciliation with your intuition, to realize that you are sovereign, that they are mirroring back to you your power, your sovereignty, your divinity. They are mirrors. They are stones on the pathway. They cannot make you make decisions. So that is a huge lesson for, I think, so many of us. And also, yeah, me. I was like, oh, sweet. Okay, so he's my husband. But I probably could have stepped back and not relied only and solely on these signs. But also, whenever something like this happens, to not feel betrayed by spirit. Because ultimately, it's not their decision whether, you know, Jackson could say, yes, I do want to go all in. That was a timeline for sure. And we knew it. We felt it. But anyways, I feel like I shouldn't even explain too much in this because it's pretty potent as is and it's a lot to take in. So number four, this was also discussed in my session with Nathaniel. And I love referencing where I learned these because I believe it's really important to give credit where it's due. So something Nathaniel mentioned, a message that came through from his guide Freya, who is a beautiful Norse goddess, is there is a feeling of love and then there is the frequency of love. And he asked me, he said, okay, so tap into the frequency of love and what comes through to you. And what came through to me was literally this image or just me wanting to like wipe my eyes and I see more. I see clearly. I see things that I missed or overlooked. I'm more grateful. I see a little teeny flower that I didn't notice yesterday. I'm able to see the divinity and everything and see life for what it really is, the truth of it all. And it really shows that the feeling of love, which he also kind of went into, there's the solar plexus feeling of love and then the heart chakra love, which the heart chakra is the frequency. And how so often we get really swept up in the feeling of love, which it's obviously not a bad thing, but sometimes the feeling of love, it bleeds into, you know, the yearning, the lust, the kind of the fantasy. And the heart chakra frequency of love is where we're actually able to give love on a soul level, where we're able to give love to those who have hurt us. We're able to find forgiveness. We're able to be in a place of wisdom. We're able to really give love without ego. And something that really hit me when I also kind of realized like what the frequency of love means to me or how I interpret it is the frequency of love allows us to see the truth. Kind of going back to what I was saying with like I wanted to wipe my eyes and see, I felt like I saw the world more clearly. I saw the things that I overlooked, more grateful. And when we're able to see more clearly, we're able to see and witness the truth. Number five. So this came through when I was with the beautiful practitioner, Chrissy. And when she was going through my healing, one of the first things she said is, open your heart. Please keep opening your heart. Do not close it. Have boundaries, but do not have armor. And that was something that came through like really, really clearly. And there is most definitely a difference because there's so many of us that want to have armor that block us from love, that block us from like these other open-hearted connections. But it's boundaries that we're able to actually experience these open-hearted connections, but in our standard and in our value. And again, in the frequency of love, frequency of love, when we see the truth, we're actually able to look at love and witness love from like a very wise, loving, grounded place. And the feeling of love is still in the place of kind of, you know, like maybe stickiness or hurt, and just in a place of like, oof, like there's still kind of attachment there. And so I really love that. And that's been kind of a mantra for me. So like opening my heart, boundaries, not armor. And then number six is, even though you may be really soul aligned with this person, whether you had a past life with them or some kind of soul contract, for them to hop on board is ultimately also their decision. We need to remember that they are an individual too, and we cannot shapeshift for them or make them shapeshift in order to hop on board. And I guess that kind of is related to the first lesson of self-worth, but that even kind of goes back to like the laws of the universe or even manifestation, is like we can't manifest for someone else. We can't, because that's meddling into their business. And even that kind of relates to one of the golden rules of mediumship, is never give a reading without permission and do no harm. It would be harmful to their soul path. It'd be harmful to their sovereignty if we try to shapeshift, you know, make them shapeshift. And it's even harmful on us. We are compromising our authenticity. And that's really the biggest thing I would say with this, is compromising your authenticity is painful for all parties. It's painful for everyone. It's manipulating yourself into something that you're not. And it's reinforcing patterns. It's reinforcing pain. Oy vey, I really love this episode, and it was actually really cathartic to share it and to record it. And I hope this resonates with you all. And I hope this is one that is heart medicine. And please don't be shy. Please share what really came through to you. Please share what resonated with you. I really want to be a support to you, and I want to cheer you on. And, you know, I'm sure I'm even going to learn a million more lessons after this episode. And I know, at least from this lesson, is I'm not losing hope. I would say this just shows me that I'm doing something right by connecting with people and someone that really aligns with the values I'm really praying for and looking for. And, you know, it kind of came to me last week where I was thinking to myself, dang, I have learned so many lessons in this arena. I've learned so many lessons with love and relationships. Why do I have to learn so many? But then, you know what? Everyone has to learn so many lessons in something. Everyone has their own cross to bear. And who are we to judge someone for learning lessons in one arena when they are learning lessons in another? And the medicine that I am receiving from this, I get to share with you all. So again, I hope this resonates. I hope this was, again, heart medicine. If you are looking to work with me one-on-one or, in any kind of container, head to my website at themodernmedium.com, and that's where we can work together through mentorship, through Reiki, through psychic mediumship, also through group programs. I just finished an iteration of Meet Your Spirit Guides. I'll definitely be doing another one. And also, really amazing announcement, I am officially going to start my journey to become accredited as an integrative trauma practitioner starting May 18th. And I'm super, super excited. I've been wanting to dive into higher learning and get kind of another accreditation, because I've wanted to take you guys to a deeper place rather than just simply holding space. I also believe, as if I'm going to be and walk the walk and talk the talk as an ethical practitioner, trauma, of course, comes up in our sessions. If it may hour or sessions with me, you are bearing your soul to me. You are dealing with death. You are confronting truth, and it's not pretty. And a lot of the time, or actually all the time, I just have to hold space and just be a messenger. And I believe there are practitioners out there who, unfortunately, just because trauma comes up, they feel a right that it's theirs to move through and it's theirs to manipulate and work with. And that just doesn't feel right to me. So I've been kind of trying to research and understand what to receive, what can I do in order to be a practitioner that can ethically help you move through this. And so I'm really, really excited. This is going to help. This is going to give me the tools and the accreditation to ethically and with great just reverence to help you move through pain. And I'm really, really, really excited. So I love you guys a lot. Again, listen to this podcast, follow this podcast wherever you love to listen. Stay tuned for gorgeous episodes to come. And yeah, follow me on Instagram. That's where I stay up to date. That's where I keep you guys all up to date with my life and business. And also follow me on Threads. I've been loving Threads as well. I love you guys tons. And I will see you next time.